here. This is Tom, a.k.a. the Ramble Redhead Show. Just wanted to say hello, and I wanted to say I listened to the Gypsy King episode, and I just want to let you know that I laughed so hard when I heard about the sighting of the vaginal area. That was so hilarious, and just want to let you know that I thought that was really, really good, so... I really, really appreciate it. And as I was getting ready to leave you a message, I'm driving down the road to go to my appointment, and this rather heavy-set gentleman is sticking his entire pinky up his nose. So that was nice. Just thought I'd share. And hope you're doing really well, and congratulations to all your new listeners. And don't forget about my show, folks. Ramble Redhead. And the reason why is because, Archer, I hope and pray that you'll be on it very, very soon, and they all can learn more about the wonderful world of Archer that they already don't know. Because I'm sure I'll find out some juicy secrets, won't I, Archer? Well, anyway, I hope you have a great day, great weekend, and I hope you don't get the rain that I'm driving in right now. So take care. Bye-bye.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2006. And my Now stop it. I didn't even introduce you. And my co-host for today is the remarkably or remarkable Mark from the remarkable I'm going to fuck that up.
And you're listening to Archer Radio.
Archer Radio. But this is Mark, or Chef Mark, from the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark.
Howdy.
Say hello. There you go.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I knew I had to go get and do the D-D-D-D-D-D thing, right?
I know you did. Why did you
do
that?
I love your theme song.
I know you do. You get silly every time, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, what are you drinking tonight? Anything?
No, I just had a few beers. A few little happy juices.
I'm having a glass of Merlot.
Ooh, how nice.
Yeah, I love this Merlot.
What is it?
It's from Piedmont Vineyards in Virginia. I'm trying to think where little city it's from. I can't think of it. But we went there recently, and the guy told us that they're almost out of Merlot, so I bought half a case.
Okay.
Just so I could
now,
have
is Piedmont at the base of a mountain?
Or is no, it it's name? Not. It's just the name of the winery.
Dang. Yeah. I guess there aren't really any mountains, per se, in Virginia, are there?
You guys would, well, people in the west and people in the north would call these hills, but yeah. I'd call them mountains.
I mean, I'm from New Mexico, you know.
Oh, yeah, you have mountains out there.
I mean, Albuquerque is at a mile high, and that's not even the mountain.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, the mountain starts after the mile. Yeah. Oh. So, well, anyway, but is it good?
It's very good. It's delicious, yes.
What are its chief qualities? I mean, is it a pretty...
The chief
qualities...
Is it
very tannic?
No, it's not very tannic. It's actually rather smooth. And the thing that I really like about it is it has the distinct Merlot flavor that you expect from a Merlot. You know, okay. Like, if you were to taste it, you'd say, oh, that's a Merlot. Or,
yeah, it has a lot of berry flavors.
Right, lots of berries, just a little jammy... not tannic, quite smooth.
I hope it's not toe jammy.
No, gross. Toe jammy, that's gross.
I'm sorry. No, yeah. Me, I'm actually eating blueberries right now.
Oh, you're eating blueberries.
New York State blueberries, yeah. I bought a pint at the farmer's market yesterday.
Oh, good for you.
I couldn't resist but eat them. They're really amazing because they're fresh. They're, you know, good seasonal New York State blueberries from Semascot Orchard, which
yes.
is about an hour north of the city.
The boyfriend had some about a week ago, and he was trying to get me to eat them. But, of course, I did not.
They're very high in antioxidants.
I know.
They're really, really good for you.
And I
have you ever tried dried blueberries?
No.
They're really yummy, too.
Are they like raisins?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like any kind of dried fruit, they're kind of like that. But they're just so concentrated with that blueberry flavor.
Oh, yum. I should try those.
You should. They're...
Huh. Uh-oh.
Because I'm concerned. Oh, that was, you know what, Steva. Actually, he has a steak knife that he's trying to chew on.
Why are you letting your dog?
I better
dog
get it
have
out of
steak
his
knife.
Mouth. I didn't give it to him. He grabbed it. I guess it fell and he grabbed it.
Steva,
so let me give him something more healthy to chew on, like
yeah.
a bone.
Okay.
That's a beef. That's a beef rib bone.
Well, that sounds
I
better
some,
for him.
I made some barbecue ribs, and he gets the bones. He loves them.
That sounds much better for him.
Yeah. So I got a note today from one of my listeners that was an MP3, and I downloaded it and I listened to it, and it was dogs barking happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
And it was in honor of Steva's birthday, which is the 20th.
That is so sweet. I know, I listened to your show that you posted on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I listened to that, and I heard that he
on
was...
On Bastille Day?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. That's right, because
well,
you were
in that show.
That's right.
I hope
duh.
You...
Duh. I forget. Oh, yeah. That was funny.
It sounds like you're doing pretty well with the whole, like, this is Monday's show, and it's recorded on that whole thing.
I'm doing better with that, let's say.
Yeah, you know, the truth is no one really cares.
Right, no one cares, but I don't know why I feel like I have to explain it.
Right, gentle listeners.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so what kind of weekend did you have?
It was interesting and quiet. I did yesterday morning. I'm very involved with our dog run.
Yes.
And you know, our group is called Inwoof. I live in the neighborhood called Inwood, and
right.
We call our group Inwoof. Inwoof.com. You can buy T-shirts with Steva's face on it, and it benefits our group. I'm terrible with plugs, right?
Yeah, you are.
And so last year, we have these park benches. We have about 6 park benches that are inside the dog run, and you know, the city had, you know, sort of once we lobbied them, they actually fenced off the run and they did this cursory thing, but essentially we're responsible for any improvements to the run itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they had given us these park benches, and we actually raised money to get our own pebbles inside the run, these tiny little what's called pearlized pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Which are easier on the dog's paws than the other pebbles they had in there, and they're certainly better than the mud that was in there before.
Yeah.
So the benches are standard park benches, which you know, they're the kind, they kind of have a little bit of a curvature where you sit, so that
okay.
It sort of is more comfortable. But there's a gap in between the first slat and the second slat, because it's angled a little bit. And we were finding that tiny dogs were jumping up there, and then sometimes their feet would go into that slot as they would jump off, and they would hurt themselves. And we were really fearful, because a dog could easily break their paw, you know, break their leg that way.
Right.
So last year we went, and we went to Home Depot, and we purchased wood that would fit in that slat, and we, you know, we used wood glue, and we used nails, and we hammered them in, and we fixed all those slots, and everyone was really
so
happy.
Butch.
And it took a few, you know, after a few months, the wood sort of faded to match the color of the benches, and, you know, all was well. Unfortunately, on a couple of them, we didn't, you know, the nails didn't go in all the way, and so over time it started to warp up, and so we had to remove those ones. And so that Saturday morning we went and we replaced the ones that were missing, and I had, the last time we had used wood glue, which seemed to work okay, except that, you know, over time
with moisture,
the elements, well, moisture drying, it cracks and doesn't hold as well. So I got this really super heavy duty construction caulking, you know, like indoor outdoor caulking that they use to, like, you know, attach substrate to floorboards and stuff. I mean, really heavy duty stuff.
Is it liquid nails?
It's like liquid nails. I mean, it comes in a tube like that, and you use a caulking gun, but it's like a super industrial strength one.
Okay.
That construction teams use when they're putting stuff together. So I use that to attach the new ones, and then I went through along the ones that were pre-existing to sort of fill in the gaps and all of that. And we even went underneath and fixed that. So that was spent, but it was so terrible because it was like 90 degrees, and it was, I mean, we said, let's do it in the morning so it's not so hot. Well, of course, it was hot.
Yeah.
And it was miserable, and it was so humid, and so I did that. And
how many people did you get to come out to help you?
Well, there were two of us who are the main people doing it, and then a third lady who's the treasurer of our group. She came and she gave us moral support. She didn't really do much of the work because she's had a little bit of some health issues lately.
I thought you were going to say because she's a woman.
No, the other person who was helping me was of the female persuasion.
Oh.
She's very handy. Yeah. So
do you have?
We had a good time.
Do you have any other gay men in this group?
Oh yeah, it's crawling with gay men.
Oh.
But unfortunately, none of them are super cute.
I was going to say, then why are you still single?
Exactly. Well, and here's the funny thing: the cute ones are straight actors. That we have a lot of actors in our neighborhood because it's still a relatively inexpensive neighborhood to live in.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of Broadway actors. I mean, there's a guy who's in Wicked. There's a guy who just did a regional tour of the Buddy Holly story. You know, I mean, it's so cute. But they're both straight. And the guy with the guy who's in Wicked is just so cute, and he has a girlfriend and two boxers, two female boxers that are just adorable. Those are the most adorable dogs ever. And I'm like, damn. You know, and then the ones who aren't gay are just sort of not, you know, they're either older or they're not cute or whatever. You know, there's
Is older a problem?
Well, older meaning like much older than
like
me.
Like 60. You
know, like yeah, exactly. Okay. Like there's a guy who's in his 50s and kind of weird and reclusive. You know, when you get to be in your late 50s and like your most constant social outlet is your dog.
Yeah, something's wrong there.
I mean, I love this dog, but, you know, I try to interact with people as much as possible.
Yeah.
He's sitting on my lap, by the way.
Aw, how cute. Hi, yeah, Steve.
He says hello. Sometimes I feel bad because some dogs really recognize voices and they go crazy if they hear them. Like, I guess I was listening to Madge the other day, and the woman who is taking care of Trotsky actually said that, oh, well, every time the show comes on or when Madge's voice is there, Trotsky jumps up and gets all excited.
Yeah,
well,
I heard that.
Unfortunately, Steva doesn't really do that. Like, he doesn't. Like, when my mom calls or I talk to my mom, I actually put the phone up and she says, hi, Steva. Hi, my baby. And he just doesn't even get it. Like, maybe he just doesn't register, you know?
Does he even hear it, though?
Well, because their hearing is so acute. I mean, it's way stronger than humans.
Well, then why doesn't he react?
I just think he doesn't put two and two together. You know, he doesn't realize that voice is, maybe he's like he has to see the person or smell the person to make the connection. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. So,
well, my
poor mom, she feels bad. So, yeah. So how was your Saturday?
I was going to say, on my Saturday, I spent about 2 hours talking to Ramble Redhead.
Oh, wow.
And recording a show for him and chatting with him. It was like 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so. I remember we spent 2 hours as well, and we did two shows.
Exactly, so.
Yeah, I don't think he's capable of doing single-part shows.
I know.
He's very comprehensive interviewer, that's for sure.
He's very comprehensive, but I was ready.
On the train on the way home just now, I was listening to his latest interviews, which were really fascinating. He interviewed this couple.
Yeah, Troy and John.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool story.
I heard them, yeah. I was trying to explain to him, I don't know if I did it or not, but that I don't feel like I have very much to contribute to his show in terms of people with gay issues and stuff, because I had such an easy coming out, and I've been out for like 22 years or something like that.
But don't you think that that's a really good story for people to hear then? Especially because I think like he likes to focus on the fact that he has a lot of young listeners either maybe aren't out or who are just in that process. And to hear that, hey, guess what? There are lots of people who have good stories like this. It doesn't have to be a traumatic experience.
I guess that's true.
Because I think we all tend to build it up in our minds as, oh my God, it's going to be so hard. And then when we do have good experiences, we're so surprised. And it's like, well, should we? Is that like a fatalistic attitude?
Right, that's true. I mean, because I was telling him the whole story about coming out. You know, that's one of his standard questions he asks. And I was just like, well, mine was pretty unremarkable. It's just... my dad totally accepted it. My mom, after a couple months, accepted it, and, you know, no big deal. So
that's wonderful.
I really didn't have too much to tell.
But do you recognize how great that is?
Oh, yes. That's what I mean. I mean, how lucky I was that it went so smoothly and that all my family is so accepting and all.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a testament to their love for you, that it was not an issue, you know, that, because, I mean, it's sad to say, I saw this, oh my God, I saw this ad in the subway that was just beautiful. It was sponsored by, I think it's called the Ali Forney Institute, and I think that, you've heard of that?
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay, that institute is a group that I think is dedicated to women of color, like lesbians of color, I think, but don't quote me. I think that's what it is. So anyway, the ad shows this gorgeous little black baby and her very beautiful mother, right? And she's mm-hmm. just holding her, you know, it's one of those mother-daughter, like she's kissing her on the forehead and the baby's just like, you fall in love with her just on instant look. And the quote on the, or the line on the poster says, would you stop loving her if she told you she were a lesbian?
Oh, wow.
And then underneath there was this interesting text about how, you know, just this is a very common occurrence, how, you know, adults or teenagers, when they come out, this is a very common experience that, you know, they're rejected, or their families stop loving them, or say that they're going to stop loving, you know, all this kind of stuff. And
right.
It's like, when you put it in those terms, when you think about this adorable little child that you just love with all your heart, that it's like automatic, you know, and instant, and just and so natural that you think, well, what makes it different that 15 years later,
right?
And that same, I mean, that's that same baby, that same child that you love, and that you, you know, you feel like you're going to love with all your heart for all eternity. And it really, I think that is such a powerful ad and powerful message that tells people, hey, this is your child, no matter what, you know, like. If you equated it to like an illness or a sickness, like you wouldn't stop loving them if you went to the doctor and they said, you know, your child has MS.
Ooh, that's true. I don't really care for the medical comparison because.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean, but I just mean like I think when you put it that way, people say, oh, that's true. I probably wouldn't stop loving them. I mean,
yeah.
It would be a challenge. It would be a struggle, and I might not like it because you want your child to be just perfect in the way that you, whatever way you envision them, you know.
Exactly.
And
but let me ask you,
perfect, then it's troublesome.
Let me ask you this though: do you think the majority of young people today are having negative reactions or positive reactions when they come out?
You know, I don't know, because I don't know what, you know, what the numbers are, but my impression is that it's still difficult in a lot of places, but it's easier than it was. I mean, I think the exposure that has been, and that just the openness and the outness of so many people has made it easier, but it still must be very difficult for a lot of people. There's still a lot of people in this country that think that gayness is a disease, is a sickness, is a perversion, you know, and it's not out of them being evil or hypocritical. I just think that that's how they think of it, you know.
Right.
They just haven't questioned it, and it's never been in their lives. So then all of a sudden, if their child comes out, they're like, oh my God, what did I do wrong?
Excuse me. Well, I guess going back to what I was saying about not really being able to add anything to Ramble's show, I guess that what you said is really a better way that to show, even though I didn't have any issues coming out, to show them that it is possible to have a positive experience coming out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's wonderful. I mean, I think that's so great. And I also count myself as fortunate that in general, my coming out experience was, you know, that my family has been very, very loving and accepting of me.
Well, I remember that you are lucky, too, as well. I remember when I was dating a guy in my late 20s, and he was in his mid-20s. There was this group that met in Washington, D.C. I don't know if it was like a counseling group or what, but it was called 20s, the 20s group or the 20-somethings or something like that. And I went with him to this group, and all these guys sat around telling their coming out stories and how bad they were and all
this
stuff.
They were like horror stories.
And I was just sitting there thinking, oh my God, I can't relate because mine was so good. I mean, and I'm certainly not going to open my mouth because people will say, you know, think, oh, he's just sticking it to us because he had a good one and we had a terrible one. So it was,
you should literally think of it as the opposite. People will want to hear that story so that they can at least vicariously feel like, you know, like having that experience, you know, like
yeah,
there is love out there.
I understand that, but yeah. I guess for me, I was, as I was sitting there listening to all these guys thinking, I was thinking, I cannot relate to these people. Besides the fact that we're gay, we really don't have anything else going because I did not have the same experience there. They either are having or had, you know, it was difficult. Granted, okay. I didn't date that guy for very long.
Wow, that has more to do with it than anything else.
Yeah, very possible, very possible.
Now, okay. Did you hear this?
Go ahead.
There. I read a story that apparently in Provincetown there's been a little bit of intolerance speech, and that shockingly it's coming from the gays.
I was going to say, isn't that like reverse discrimination?
It's, I mean, of all places, Provincetown, Massachusetts, you would not think that that would happen, and I think that it's shocking and disgusting to hear that there's that going on. And now, in, you know, when I read the story further, I discovered that, you know, they were saying it's really not the townspeople. You know, there's the townies. I did a summer in Provincetown, my first summer out of college, and so I have a
God,
little bit.
You've
of
done everything and seen everything.
Well, no, not everything. Thank God. But, you know, I spent a summer there, and there's that whole townie experience, you know, where, like, there's the townies, the ones who grew up there, who lived there their whole lives, the
right.
Salty, crusty New England types and the Portuguese fisherman types. And then there's the gays who have moved there, or the artists who have moved there, and they're, you know, they live there year round. And then there's the people who come in every summer, so they're regulars, but they only live there during the summers. But there is a really good relationship between those people, or at least it always has been. So they were saying that apparently some of these, there's been a marked increase this summer of complaints of people then going to the police or going and registering, you know, complaints with whoever they register them with about being verbally harassed, you know, like being called breeders, called, you know, just nasty names. And then apparently this is also in conjunction, there's been a little bit of incidents of racial bias
from gays,
against Jamaicans who live there. And I don't know if it's from the gays or not, but anyway, the person, you know, that they quoted in this article said that whoever is doing this is obviously, these are people who are coming in from outside, who are visitors,
yeah,
you know, who are there for the week or something, and they you know, and I could see that happening. I could see gays thinking like Provincetown is supposed to be this special gay wonderland, and then they're going to be like, oh, what are you breeders doing here? Which is just disgusting.
It is disgusting, and this is exactly what they shouldn't be doing, because how are you going to be accepted for your gayness if you are showing discrimination against either Jamaicans or straight people?
Or, I mean, yeah, or quote-unquote breeders. Yeah, I think it's disgusting. And then I guess the bigger... Well, okay, one thing I want to say. I remember I was at... I think I've quoted this before. I don't know if it was on your podcast or another one, but I remember I was at Wigstock in 1993 when I first moved here. It was a block away from the apartment that I moved into, and it was the day after I moved in. Wow. This is my introduction to New York. Amen, girl. and I remember, and it's on the record, it's on the album of Wigstock, and it's Lady Bunny saying, look, I don't want to hear anyone say nothing about no breeders or anything about straights, because if it weren't for a couple of breeders, your gay ass wouldn't have been here.
Oh, that's so true. God, that's
And
so
I think
true.
About that every time I hear that. I think, you know, that's, hey, don't knock the breeders, because they're the reason that there's life on this planet.
Well, I just can't imagine what those gay guys were thinking. I mean, what are they thinking? Discriminating against other people.
Unfortunately, it gets worse. The story is that there's some group or some petition or something that people signed in Massachusetts saying that they were opposed to gay marriage. And this activist group got a hold of this petition and this list, and they publicized it, and they said, you know, these people in our community think that you shouldn't be able to marry, you know, and they publicized it. And one of the women was a pretty prominent person. She's the lady who runs the trolley. And apparently she had signed this thing, and she was getting harassed. And several of these residents who had signed this petition have woken up at various mornings and found excrement smeared on their lawn.
Oh, my God.
Just things against it. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. They have the right to sign those petitions. They have the right to feel how they feel. They have the right to put up a big sign that says whatever they feel.
Right.
You know, like, that's the whole point of free speech, is that it's free for everyone, and that we have to protect all speech. We have to protect unpopular speech, and especially the people you don't agree with, because if you protect the speech of the people you don't agree with, then it means that, you know, your speech will be protected. And I just find it disgusting that someone would do those things, considering what we've had to go through.
I know. That's really hard to believe, because it's the whole point of having the right to have the free speech in the first place. If you're not going to respect what someone else has to say, then no one will respect what you have to say. You've got to give everybody the right, whether you like it or not. You don't have to like what they say, but you have to listen. You have to let them say it.
And especially in a place like Provincetown, where, I mean, it's like laughable. You know, like if anyone was anti-gay, or, and it wasn't even like this woman was anti-gay. She just didn't feel like marriage should be, you know, marriage rights should be extended to gay couples, because I guess for her, she felt that marriage is between a man and a woman, and she has every right to feel that way.
Exactly. Right? That's why we have our freedom.
Yeah. So but it's laughable in a place like Provincetown, where people who feel that are such a minority. You know, it's like, just enjoy the fact that it's one of the few places in the world. It really is a wonderland. It's one of the few places in the world where you can run around and be openly gay and no one gives a shit.
So don't fuck it up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's funny. I think about that in these places where it's like, where it's majority gay, and that someone would say something. One time I was walking down Christopher Street in the Village, and it was like right outside. There's a particular spot on Christopher Street where it's just basically like there's just a bunch of gay bars right across from each other, and it's the kind of bars where people stand out. You know, they're like right there. There's like the big picture windows, and some, you know, group of kids from New Jersey drove by, and someone like made some, you know, oh, a bunch of faggots or whatever, and this giant drag queen ran out of the bar, and she says, "Be off with you! You have no power here. Be gone before someone drops a house on you."
Oh my gosh, that's too funny. That's wild.
And that just summed it up.
That does. Well, listen, on that note, I think we're going to end this show, but you want to stick around for another one?
Sure.
Okay. All right, boys and girls, we want to... now, see, I don't want to do this wrong. I want to say thank you to special...
I'm going to fuck it up again. Oh my God, you
damn
did.
It. Thank you to Remarkably Mark and the Remarkable Palate Podcast, Chef Mark, for joining us as a co-host on today's show. And
je vous en prie.
Whatever that means.
That means you're welcome.
Oh, okay. Stick around for tomorrow's show because he's going to be back as co-host again. So until next time, boys and girls, bye. Say goodbye. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Archer Radio.
The person you are calling is not available. Please leave a message on Skype.
I don't believe that. I know you're available.
Doesn't that woman sound so weird?
Yeah, I think she's queer. Cool.
The person you are calling is not available.
I think that's cool.
How are you?
Just fine. Now let me start my show and then we'll talk, okay?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to start it. I'm going to call you the co-host for today.
Okay.
Okay.
The blow host.
Yeah. Shh.